Thank you, Lord.
You have your Bible, I want you to go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. I want to say how good it is to have Sister Donita Wiggins. Would you please raise your hand and wave, turn around to people. Look, this is her. She's in the process still, but she is moving here from Athens, Texas. She will be a part of us. She's a huge angel.
Thank you, Lord.
She is a very educated lady. She's a very funny lady. And I hope that you all have the chance to get to know her. She's a huge blessing to our family, and we love her. We claim her as our own. And we're thankful that God has chosen to move her here.
Amen.
I'm so glad to see my kids call him Papa David. And Marilyn this morning, thank you for being here. They drove in from Alma. Just go ahead and wave, baby. Papa David's been a huge influence in my life all the years that I was on the mission field. I lived at their house, David and Loretta's house, and I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. There's several things in that passage of scripture that we don't like. After you have suffered a while, we don't like that. We don't like that. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour, knowing that afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world, and after you suffer, God's going to strengthen you and establish you and settle you. If you've ever heard me preach, you know that I preach from the mentality of the spiritual life being a battlefield, and that as a child of God, we are soldiers in this army. I preach from this mentality because that is what I see, that is what I live, that is what I know, that is who I am. If you've got a spiritual life of rainbows and roses, then I'm pretty sure that my preaching is not going to go up your alley.
Right. Yeah.
The very first time that I went on the mission field, one of the first words that was ever given to me was by the lady who went on to become my spiritual mom, my mentor, Mama Loretta. The first thing that she ever said to me was, "Melissa, you are going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier." I don't care who you are, that is not a shouting ground word from the Lord to your life.
Right.
That is a more of your eyes filled with tears, they get big, you look and you want to say, why? Why am I going to have to endure hardness in this walk with God? And that is not a word that has ever left my life. And I'll tell you why I needed it. It's because it prepared me to stand on ground, to stay steady when everything else around me was shaking.
Right.
That word was given to me almost 18 years ago. And it is something that the Holy Ghost has reiterated to my life repeatedly along the way. I was sitting in our pastor's office down in Texarkana a few years ago, and there were some things that were very heavy in my heart. I was weeping. I was pouring my heart out. And Pastor, not knowing that 18 years ago, the very first thing I was told was this word, he stopped me in the middle of what I was saying and he said, "Melissa, you are to endure hardness as a good soldier." I did not get any sympathy. I didn't get a pat on the back. I didn't get a "let's get down on our knees and cry together." I got a "hey, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and endure hardness like a good soldier." As you can imagine, my eyes became big as I was reminded one more time that there are battles that you're going to have to fight. And they are going to be difficult battles. And I am to be a good soldier in the fight.
Right. Yes. Amen.
I think you know that I do not preach to you from a standpoint of suggesting something to you, but I preach from the mentality of being a soldier, standing alongside you, shoulder to shoulder, reminding you that you signed up to be a part of this army. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach deliverance caught my attention because that means that, Pastor, I am to preach until the hearers that are hearing what I am preaching are going to be delivered. Have you ever had the word preached to you until it set something free in your life? Have you ever had the word of God be preached to you until chains began to fall from your mentality and from your emotions? You had the word preached until deliverance came to you.
Amen. Yes.
I have. Healing the brokenhearted, that's not easy peasy stuff. You've got to invest, fight, pray. Yes. You've got to pray for their healing. Preaching deliverance is not roses and rainbows. It is a fight on spiritual ground to take back territory away from an enemy who has come to seek and devour who he can. And you certainly do not have to be behind a pulpit to preach deliverance. You can preach it over the phone to somebody that needs to hear the truth. You can preach it in your house, in the store, on your job, to those whose minds are being taken captive by an enemy and by emotions that are overwhelming their life. There's nothing in this world like watching someone come out from under the load of condemnation and the devouring lies of an enemy. There's nothing like it. Watching them break free. Anyone who lives for Christ with anything less than a soldier mentality will most likely end up as a casualty of war.
Right. Yeah.
So I have a question to ask you this morning. Are you ready?
Come on.
I like to ask questions because it makes you think. I don't like to just tell you. I like for you to think.
Come on. Yes, ma'am.
So here's my question. Are you a joke to the devil?
Think about it.
Or are you a threat?
Yeah.
To his kingdom.
Good question. Yes.
Do you live a spiritual life that is always under the mentality of defense? Or are you living in a way with an understanding of operating in an offense as well? I completely understand that we defend, we stand guard, we guard everything that pertains to us spiritually. But we are not to only be living in a spiritual defense mode. When we get under attack, or you are in the midst of a long, hard battle, it's very easy to get into the mindset of just defending against the blows that are coming your way all of the time. But you've got to wake up and remember that there is an offensive that you are supposed to be going on that will also take territory away from an enemy. I do not preach anything to you that I have not lived or am living.
Yes, that's good.
And I can tell you from experience that my husband and I, we individually and together, we have fought long, hard battles. But Melissa, didn't you guys just step out in faith, in obedience to what God directed you to do? You should be walking in glory and goosebumps right now. Let me tell you something.
Sister Melissa, yes.
Following God isn't always a glamorous thing. Mm. We have glamorized it because we are humanity. But just because you step out in obedience, I had to learn this the hard way. When we left Russellville and went to Texarkana, we stepped out in obedience, following what God had said. I was not expecting the battle to ensue as hard as it did. When you step out in obedience to what the Lord has said, it does not mean that the battle won't come, especially if there is great purpose in your obedience. When you step out in obedience to God, things don't automatically always fall into place. We have this mindset that if God was in this, it would easily fall into ago, he said, don't you ever doubt when you're in the dark what God told you in the light. You go back to what you knew in the light. When you get in the dark, don't start doubting what God said to you. I'm not referring to any particular situation in my life or about even coming here. I'm telling you how the enemy works.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And then your enemy will help you into a mindset that is questioning God instead of walking in the obedience of where God placed you.
Right.
That's what got us into this mess of humanity in the first place. Eve was walking in obedience to what God had told her in the garden until the enemy slithered his way in there and started interjecting the question into her spirit. Did God really say that to you?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You see, unless you have impenetrable walls, you can only maintain a defense mode for so long. If you are constantly under an assault, there has to be a time when you are not only defending what you've got, but you are also taking ground.
Amen. Yes.
Eve was not able to maintain her defense. She did not step into the offensive. She was just standing there trying to defend what she knew God had said. But she didn't step up and say, you have no business trying to question God. Mm-hmm. You have no business trying to slither your way into this garden and tell me that God did not tell me to obey.
Right.
The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant.
Good preaching.
For your adversary, the devil,
yes,
as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. If God is guiding your life, then he's going to provide for you. But that does not mean that you won't have a fight.
Right.
What about the greatest evangelist of all time, the Apostle Paul? He has an incredible meeting with God. He sees a light. He's knocked to the ground. He's blind and he's healed. He knows that the will of God, the plan of God, is for him to go out and preach Christ. But immediately after that calling of God, the Apostle Paul has people hunting him down to kill him. He has people watching the gates of the city all night to kill him. And now he's having to hide in a basket to be let down over a wall. He never had to have this happen before. But now that he's following in the obedience of Christ, he has a fight on his hands.
Amen. Yes.
The enemy loves to wreak havoc in our minds and spirits and interject thoughts that if we were truly obeying God, if we were truly in the will of God, in the plan of God, you wouldn't be experiencing that kind of problem. Mm-hmm. Anybody else heard that?
Come on.
Oh, come on. Anybody else heard that?
Yeah.
You stepped out in faith to obey God, and the enemy comes up and says, well, you must have missed it.
Yeah. Come on. It's good. Good preaching.
And so in that thought process, we go into defense mode. Trying to defend our and reason out why we are obeying God. We have to defend our actions and defend our obedience and defend this and defend that just so we don't lose any of our own spiritual ground.
Right.
And we get so caught up in defense mode, trying to maintain our own victory in our obedience, that the enemy can kind of sit back and laugh. Because he has succeeded in causing us to make what we are doing all about us again.
Yeah.
Instead of our obedience to Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We sing songs like, I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Taking back my song, my dance, my joy, my peace. You know.
Preach, yes. Good sister Melissa.
We take it. We sing songs that we're taking it back, but we just saying it.
Come on.
We're just saying it.
Yeah.
And I understand that it becomes difficult at times to smile and have joy on the battlefield, but the Bible also addresses that when it says that there is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, and that the joy of the Lord will be the strength that you need. Just because you're in a battle and you're fighting does not mean that you have to walk around. What are you saying? Looking like you swallowed lemon juice? Is that what you say? You don't have to walk around looking like you are downcast and downtrodden and the enemy is whooping you within an inch of your life just because you're in a battle. The Bible says there is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, and that the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
I'm not going to be a punchline for the devil's jokes.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Good.
I'm going to be offensive. The Bible says to be sober, be vigilant. I see that as an instruction to take an offensive stance against the enemies of God.
Yes.
And then the word says resist it. I see that as a defensive. Mm-hmm. Offensive and defensive, defending territory, resisting, standing. But the first command is to be vigilant. Now I want to paint you a picture, tell you a story that happened. It's been quite a while now, Papa David. It was at your house. When I lived at their house, we had an animal decide to dig a hole underneath the foundation of the house. He's already laughing because he knows the story. We had an animal dig underneath the foundation of the house, and it just so happened that where it dug its hole was up underneath the bathtub in the bathroom that joined my room. I could hear that thing scratching. I could hear it rubbing its fur up against the pipes. Anybody that really knows me knows that I do not like to have my sleep interrupted. It was an absolute nuisance. It happened over and over and over and over. It was digging around in there, making itself a hole to be at home. And it did that for a while until early one morning when I was asleep. It was no longer just the scratching that I had to put up with. And it was no longer just the fur rubbing against the pipes that I had to put up with, because my burning nose and eyes let me know that there was a skunk living underneath my tub. This scenario went on for months. It would go away, it would come back. David called an exterminator. We tried, it would go away, it would come back. We never knew when that skunk was going to show up underneath my tub. I lived on the defense for a very long time. I sprayed as much air freshener as I could, dousing my clothes. I would be sitting in church going, I hope everyone around me cannot smell what I can smell on my clothes. I washed my clothes. I doused my hair with perfume, because if you've ever been around a skunk close enough, that stench will get in your hair. I think it gets in the hair inside your nose, and that's all you can smell.
Right. Yeah.
I doused myself with perfume and air fresheners, and I still smelled like the skunk spray. I'm telling you, David can attest, it happened over and over and over again. I would wake up in the middle of the night to this horrific odor, and my bathroom literally smelled like something had crawled up in it and died underneath the tub. It went on for way too long.
Yeah.
Having a skunk spray under your house one time is one time too many.
Right.
But having it sprayed repeatedly is absurd.
Yeah.
I finally went on the offense as best I knew how. I Googled, what do skunks hate? They hate peppermint oil. You know what I got? One of those pump sprays. Didn't we? David had one. He knows. I said, what can I use to spray peppermint oil all around this house? I got a pump sprayer with water, and I filled it with peppermint oil, and I went all the way around the whole family. I went over that hole that it had dug beside my bedroom, and I stood there, and I sprayed peppermint oil and peppermint oil and peppermint oil, because I was so sick of that skunk. And do you know what? It worked for a little while.
Yeah.
It worked for a little while.
Listen.
Until the peppermint wore off.
Yeah.
You know what happened then? The skunk came back. I heard constant scratching under that tub all hours of the day, and this thing had become an irritating nuisance that had just shown up in my life. I didn't invite it in. It showed up to bother me. We went on the offense a little more, and David went and bought a metal cage to trap the thing. He put it over the hole, so you would think that when it came out of the hole, snap, the trap would catch it. No, the skunk was so smart, it would dig a hole around, didn't it? It would dig a hole around the cage and go out the other way. You could not catch this thing. And I was sick of smelling like a skunk. I finally had had enough. Do you hear me? Did you hear that?
Yeah, come on. Heard it. Listen. Listen.
I finally had had enough. You know how they do in text? They put a period behind every letter. E, period. N. I was to that point. Enough of it. So I went to war. I wasn't defending my clothes and my smell anymore. The offense that I had been doing wasn't working. So I went to war. Do you know what I did? I marched my little self into that bathroom. I stepped my little size 6 foot over in that tub, and I stood there, and I said, I have had enough of you underneath my tub. Here's what's gonna, I stomped, I danced, I prayed, I worshiped God. I said, you are getting out from underneath my house. You are getting out from under my tub. I'm sick of putting up with your stink. I'm not taking it anymore. You're not gonna cause my clothes to smell you anymore. I'm not gonna walk around with your stench on me. I'm not gonna do it. I worship God. I said, Lord, you are victorious. That is victory in the name of Jesus. And I stomped that tub. I stomped and I stomped and I stomped. I got out and I said, you better get out.
Yeah.
I was preaching a women's conference the next morning. I got up very, very early. It was probably 6 o'clock. I got out to pray. I went and prayed. I went to get ready. David went out to feed the cows. You know what he did? He came back in the house and he said, guess what I've got in a metal trap on the other side of your house? I've got a skunk in a cage that we could never catch before. It's finally caught. Do you think that was a coincidence? Absolutely not. And I came to tell somebody this morning, you've been putting up with a skunk underneath your house for too long. You've dealt with it, and you've dealt with it, and you've sprayed your spiritual air freshener at it, and you've just tried to live with it. But the Holy Ghost would say to you that it is time to go on to offensive, devil stomping, territory taken. You take back what the devil stole from you. You command, you bind, you loose, because Jesus said you have the authority to do so. We either have this authority or we don't. I know. Oh, that's a good story, yeah. Dance and shout, I know, but dancing and shouting never did anything for me before. That's because you were doing it in your own self. The Bible says there is authority in the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus, you can bind what needs to be bound and loose what needs to be loose. Utilize your authority in Christ.
Amen.
You know as well as I do that the enemy will try to suffocate you with a stench of what he's throwing at you until it's all you can see. It's all you can smell. It's all you can think about. And every time you turn around, you get another whiff of that stench.
Yeah.
Not only are you part of an army, but you've got the Lord of hosts on your side. Do you remember when that young man was a servant to the prophet Elisha, and he got up early one morning and went out to look on a normal day-to-day servant of the man of God activities, and when he goes out, he sees that there was an entire army of enemies that has completely surrounded the city with horses and chariots. That would obviously be an alarming thing, and in fear, he cries out to the prophet, and he says, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Anybody there right now?
Come on.
What in the world? Where did that come from? Why am I dealing with this? I don't understand this. How did I go out? I was just going about my life with Christ. I walked out. Hey, wait a minute. Why am I being surrounded? telling you too many times. Please hear me. We are so good at churching it. That boy was going about his normal duties. We're going about our normal duties, churching it, carrying around our burdens.
Yeah, come on.
Hindering the flow of God out of our lives because all we can see is our defense mode of operation.
Yeah.
You know we are so good at churching it. Did you know that we can lift our arms until they ache, singing a song, and never sing to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Did you know that you can stand up and pray the most eloquent prayer that anybody has ever heard, and you prayed it for the ears of everybody listening to you, and you never talked to Jesus?
Yeah, just churching it.
That's churching it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
Because if we did go on the defense and the offensive, we would see a different result in a lot of areas in the kingdom of God. We can even teach each other to be good at churching it.
Yeah.
But becoming real is a different story. Becoming a real soldier of Jesus Christ requires you to have to face a day when it looks like there's no way out.
That's right. Yeah.
Being real in Christ requires you to have to go out and feel like you're surrounded on every side. Like Job, I reached every direction and I could not find God. All I could see was the problem and the enemy. And it took that for that young servant of Elisha going out and seeing that they are completely surrounded by the enemy for him to also have his eyes opened to the fact that the entire mountain was full of the horses and the chariots of fire that had come from the host of God. What I really want to convey to you this morning is what happened after the young servant had his eyes opened to the truth of the battlefield. 2 Kings, it says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire about Elisha. But verse 18 in chapter 6 is what I want you to notice. It says, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he said, smite this people. I pray thee with blindness. And he smote them according to the word of Elisha. Do you see what this is saying? The host of heaven was waiting for Elisha to go on the offense. And when they came down to him, obviously the host of heaven was waiting on a word from Elisha. My God, do you grasp the authority in that? Elisha could have just stood there and said, would you look at that boy? Look at what God sent. Look, the whole mountain is full of the horses and chariots of God. Or he could have stood there amazed at the glory, amazed at what God had done, what was available. But the Bible says that the host of heaven came down to Elisha. They came to him to be put to work. I believe that whatever that man of God said in that moment is what they would have done. He could have said, get us out of here. And I believe that chariot would have picked them up and took them to another place.
Right. I believe that.
But Elisha was not operating in defend my life mode. He wasn't standing there saying, we're surrounded by an enemy. Get me out of here. Defend me. He was operating in an offensive, let's win a battle for the Lord.
Yes.
I'm telling you, pick up your sword.
Yes, ma'am. Come on.
And don't allow yourself to get trapped in poor little old me. I know it was in the natural, but I'm telling you, I went to the house of God over and over again, preaching and worshiping God with my clothes and my hair smelling like a skunk. And I know that thing was sent to torment me. I may have smelled like what it sprayed in my direction, but it didn't stop me from going and preaching deliverance.
Right.
This is how I fight my battles.
Yes.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but actually, I'm surrounded by you.
Yes. Amen.
Eve, did God really say, yes, he did, and I don't care how much I have to fight, I'll take territory for Christ. I will not yield my garden to the hands of a conniving, lying devil. When will we realize that we are not just surviving this thing until God gets us out of here, but we will start proclaiming deliverance, and we will start stomping some skunks out of the house. I refuse to live in defeat, and I refuse to live in defense mode. Well, the devil's fighting hard. Yeah, well, so am I. How many does the enemy have? He's got a lot. How many does God have? More than them.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Good.
It may look like there's a song, I know you know it. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus said, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He said, Jesus said, behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I refuse to be a punchline to one of the devil's jokes.
Amen. Yeah. Good.
This is how I fight my battles. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see that I've got a hammer and I've got a tin peg in my hand. Jeremiah says, is not my word like a hammer? Ezra said that God has given us a nail in his holy place.
Yes.
A nail and a hammer. Bind that enemy's head to the ground.
Yeah.
Are we really, all we really need for God to do is what he did to that young servant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's open our eyes.
Open our eyes.
Would you stand with me all over this house this morning? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Every time the enemy tries to hem me in or make me feel hemmed in, I guess this probably starts a little bit in my flesh. I kind of get mad about it. You ever get fed up with something?
Yeah.
I get irritated by it. I get frustrated that I'm. Do you? Am I alone?
No.
I get frustrated that.
We're with you.
The skunk is still spraying
with you.
In my house. I get irritated that he's disturbing my peace.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Listen. Listen, church.
But if you let God open your eyes at that moment, the eyes of your spirit, you'll realize that he's got a whole lot more available to you than that old anointed skunk.
Yes.
Are you filled with his spirit? If you're filled with that power from on high, then you've got the authority.
Yes. Amen.
To take the head off that skunk.
Yeah.
And to send him right on into that trap. The trap that they were trying to set for you, they're going to turn around and run right back into it.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Would you lift your hands with me in this house this morning? Lord, I know there are battles being fought. There are battles being fought, and there's even some in this room that feel like they've been dealing with a skunk under their tongue. They've been dealing with a stench. Nobody's even known. They can smell it on their own clothes, but nobody even realizes what they're dealing with. Lord, we've come to worship you. We've come to take an offensive stance this morning. Not just defensive.